How Not to Suck a Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information contained herein and provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended and shall not be construed as legal advice. And with that, enjoy the show.
The process of getting divorced might suck, but you don't have to suck at getting divorced.
You have found the only divorce podcast that's hosted by a family law attorney and a recovering comedian. Get ready for action steps, empathy, and a lot of laughs.
This is How Not to Suck at Divorce. You spoke, we listened.
Our number one product, the Divorce Crash Course, is now available as a private podcast.
So for $150, you'll have access to listen to the DCC just like you're listening to this episode right now. You can watch the DCC and you'll get the printable workbook.
More importantly, you'll get insider information to save up to thousands of dollars on your divorce.
The Divorce Crash Course, expert divorce guidance for a fraction of the price. Check out the link in our show notes or visit thedivorcecrashcourse.com. Well, 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 look who's back. Look who's back after leaving me for a week to my own devices. That last episode, Morgan, I'm like sitting there talking to myself and I felt like such a Looney Tune. So I'm really happy to see you.
I'm so glad. And actually, you were missing me for 2 weeks. It was a 2-week trip that I took, which I felt guilty about. But when I got back, I was very happy about it. But I did listen to the episode that you did on your own when I was gone. And the only thing, I mean, you did fabulous. It was great. But the only thing I kept thinking about is how the hell is she talking to herself for like 40 some minutes? Like she keeps going. She has more to say. It's like a conversation with herself. So I am proud of you.
I think I was getting nervous at one point. I think that I was like, and anyway, so I'm like, wait, I can end this at any point. Like nobody's sitting there that's like, you got to keep going. They really didn't want me to. But I'm really happy that you're back. And I was about to ask you such a boring question because I've just been watching a lot of like Netflix lately to kind of like numb myself. And I was about to ask you what you're watching, but you haven't watched shit, I'm sure, because you've been like on vacation and doing like fun big girl things. And I'm sitting here binging Amy Bradley is Missing.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. Yeah, you know me. I barely get time to watch anything. I would love it. But you know what happens to me is like I get through about 15 minutes, unless it's an amazing documentary, which I'm kind of that kind of geek like person who only wants to watch documentaries. But usually I make it like 15, 20 minutes and I'm asleep. And then I wake up, I'm confused at what I saw. So yeah. Moral of the story, not watching anything.
Yeah. I'm a watcher. And so Amy Bradley is Missing is a documentary series. And I got really into it. And I was listening to a podcast about it as well. And it's about like a woman who went missing from a cruise ship back in like 1998. And now we believe that she was probably trafficked and is living in Curacao. And is, you know, her family's looking for her. And it's a whole thing. And it's awful. And I hope we find her. But anyway, I was feeling talking to a friend the other day, a friend who I also work with in my other life. And we're talking and I'm telling him about all these things that I'm watching. He starts laughing at me. And he's like, and you wonder why you have anxiety? He's like, you wonder why you still have panic attacks? And you're telling me that all you watch is these documentaries and what you like to listen to is true crime? He's like, why don't you get your life together? I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I will. It's funny you say that, too, because I think with being a divorce lawyer, what I deal with every day, everyone's always like, hey, you would love this like legal show or this divorce show. Apparently there's some divorce show out. I'm like, oh, no, I would not love it. I live it every day. I am like the opposite. When I go home, if I'm going to watch something or read a book, I want no stress, no anxiety, because my life and what I do every day is already on a level 11 out of 10. So I don't need any more of that crap.
And I think our listeners are probably divided on this, because I think that for some people, when you're going through something big, right, whether you're listening to this episode right now because you haven't yet started your process and you're trying to figure out how do you tell your spouse that you want a divorce, which, by the way, we're getting there. Hang with us. Or if you're already going through the process and you're just listening to this episode because you love us and you want to listen to everything that we have to say, you might be binge watching silly, goofy shows to help bring you out of your funk. Or maybe you're like me and you kind of lean into it and you're kind of, if you're in a dark place, you watch dark stuff. I don't know. I really do think that it can go both ways, and I go both ways. There are days where I'm like, I just want to, I posted about this, where I was rewatching old vintage, if you will, episodes of Real Housewives New York season 2, because that's like very healing for me. That's silly. And then the next day I'm watching something dark with somebody's arms and legs being chopped off. And I'm like, a lullaby. So I don't know, but speaking of, I got to ask you, because this is where we're going. Did you watch Sex and the City? Were you a fan of that show?
I was the biggest fan, but the real show. I was not a fan of like the new stuff, the movies, et cetera. But like the old school show, fabulous.
Can I just say, fuck Just Like That. Fuck, what the fuck kind of shit show is this? For those of you who are loving this reboot, what's wrong with you? Because, and Just Like That is so, it's not, it makes me want to vomit. So I also was a Sex and the City fan, diehard, like you. Had it all the episodes memorized, watched actually documentaries on how they made that show. So, loser. But how about the fact that we can tie this into what we're talking about today? Do you remember the episode when Carrie was dating Berger and Berger broke up with her on a post-it?
Yes, I remember that one.
Remember? And I'll tell you, the post-it said, "I'm sorry, I can't, don't hate me." Remember that? And the whole episode, she's walking around town with that post-it showing people like, you know, look at this. And everyone's like, oh my God, that's brutal. You know, and I think she even got out of, she was caught getting high on the street and she shows the cop. And I think that's what the cop says. He's like, brutal. So if you're wondering where this is going, maybe don't tell your spouse on a post-it that you want to get divorced. I'm sure you are thinking, what the fuck do I do? Is there a way? Is there a right way to tell somebody? And clearly there is, or we would not be titling this episode The Smartest Way to Tell Your Spouse That You Want a Divorce. And there have been some shitty ways that people have told people. And Morgan, I got to ask you, have you heard horrible ways from your clients or clients of clients or whatever that have come past your desk of like the shittiest ways that someone has found out that their spouse wanted a divorce?
Oh, it's every day. That's the thing is, it makes you cringe as a divorce lawyer because we know, divorce lawyers, that there's a better way to do it, that it doesn't need to be this dramatic. But I've had everything from somebody just walking out the door, never coming back and never responding to a text message, a phone call, nothing. And the spouse is like, whoa, what just happened? Are we getting divorced? Well, you know, when you can't get a hold of them for months on end, right, and giving a divorce. I've had, obviously, notes, lots of handwritten notes. I've had people screaming in public, we're divorcing, you know, out of the blue. It's just completely nonsensical. But that's the emotional part of this, you know, kind of thing that we call divorce, is that sometimes people let the emotions take over and they don't look at it, you know, unfortunately, like we always say, a business deal, because that's what we do to take the emotion out of it. And they just let the emotions take over. And then you can get a post-it note, just like Carrie. The thing with Carrie in Sex and the City with the post-it note, I kind of admire, is like that was before really cell phones were like a big thing. So it's not like she could have called Berger 1,000 times or text messaged him 1,000 times. All she had was the post-it note, unlike where we are today.
Such a Dear John letter. So today we're going to give you do's and don'ts. That's how we're going to frame this up, of how you can tell your spouse that you want a divorce. And yes, if you guys are diehard listeners, we have covered this topic a really long time ago, but we're going to revisit it and give you guys some fresh thoughts here in the age of ChatGPT and all of the things that people are doing to formulate these conversations, right? So let's start with the do's.
Okay. All right. Let's start with the do's. And why are we doing this episode again? Well, We are getting a lot of messages online in our private community, which if you're not a part of it, go join it. It's free. It's awesome. We respond to messages. The community really kind of boosts you up. And it's confidential. So nobody knows you're in the community. But anyway, we're getting a lot of messages about how to do this. Like, what's the right way to do this? So Andrea and I thought, well, let's bring it back and let's give some real good action steps on how to essentially do this. All right. So we're here at the three do's of telling your spouse that you may want a divorce. Number one, you're going to want to tell them in a public place or a therapist's office. That's number one. Number two, you're going to use key phrases, and don't worry, we will give them to you to keep everyone calm as possible. And number three, you're going to want to be firm but compassionate when you're delivering this information.
All right, I got to start with that first one, because I'll tell you, as someone, as I'm recording this live with you and thinking about our listeners and thinking about what you just said, where you've heard people shout, you know, in the middle of town square, I want a divorce. I'm leaving you. And now we're telling people to do this in public. Well, and also I think that naturally we think public, like that sounds way harsh, Cher. Like that's what? Ew, really? So I think we really need to explain to everybody the why here. Yep.
Okay. So backing up a minute, the one story that I just told you about this person yelling, I want to divorce you in public. I mean, that's not the norm. That's somebody who's off the rocker at that moment in time. And let me be clear, this is non-judgmental. Everyone can go off their rocker depending on what day it is. Okay, fine, no judgment. But most people don't fly off the handle in public. They just don't, because there's other people around. But where do people fly off the handle in public? Where do they feel the most comfortable to be a complete lunatic when they hear something they don't like or don't want to hear? Their house, their car, anywhere that's a safe, private space is where things can go really haywire. So that's why we always say, have the conversation in public. Most people are unlikely to lose their mind in a coffee shop or over a glass of wine at a bar, wherever it is. Public is usually the place that we always recommend.
Yikes, glass of wine at a bar. That makes me nervous that someone's about to get a glass thrown in their face. With that, do we, I mean, I know that I think this kind of dovetails into number two. So maybe I'll just let you do that, because I think now naturally someone's like, okay, I understand that I want to tell them in public because I don't want to have a scene. I don't want my spouse losing it and going off on me and having this be like a really wild moment in our car or in our home, whatever. But you're also then thinking, well, I'm telling her, let's just say you're about to end your marriage to a woman and you're thinking, I'm going to tell her at a restaurant. Is that cruel? Is she going to feel like, how the fuck can you do this to me while I'm sitting here at our favorite Italian restaurant and I'm drinking a glass of Chianti and now you're telling me that you want to end our 26-year marriage? Fuck you.
Yeah. Well, that's why I always say too, either public or with a therapist. So if you have a therapist, that might be the A+ standard to do it there, because you've got a safe space, but you've also got a third party, so people are less likely to act out. But one thing I want to say to you, Andrea, is I get it. And I'm not taking a black and white stance, and I don't think I do as a lawyer in general. It's not one size fits all. It's what fits your life. But in general, doing it in public is the better route to do it. But I will say one thing. Most people are not taking their spouse to dinner and laying it on them, and it's a complete shock. Okay. Rarely do I see that. Most of the time, and I would say 90% of my clients that I've had over the last 18 years, it's been leading up. They've been talking about it.
Right.
Telling each other they're unhappy. It's not like a slap in the face. Let me back up. It is a slap in the face, but it's not a complete blindside shock, because it's been talked about.
Right. This is not the scene from Crazy Sexy Love, where at the very beginning of the movie, Steve Carell and Julianne Moore are out to dinner. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
very beginning, right? And he's like, what dessert should we get? Let's say it on the count of three. One, two, three. I want a divorce, right? And he's like, oh, what? So what you're telling everybody is, for most marriages, this is not going to come out of the blue. This is going to be, you know, something that's somewhat anticipated. Let me ask you one more question, a follow-up. When somebody sets up this occasion, right? Like, hey, are you available today at 4 to meet me at Starbucks? Or are you available tonight, blah, blah, blah. If the spouse responds, like let's say things are already kind of contentious, people aren't really getting along, and the spouse responds with, well, what is this about? Why do you want to meet at Starbucks at 4? What do you think somebody should say?
I want to discuss various things, including us. I mean, I don't think it harms anyone to give them some kind of indication that you're going to want to talk about your relationship. Usually blindsiding people is not the best option. And there might be people that say, no, I'm not coming. And then you'll have to figure out plan B, whether that's a FaceTime or something like that. The key and why I say just don't do it in a private place is because, especially with like concerns over safety and things like that, people can go haywire. People are not their best selves at that point. So we just want everyone safe and to kind of calm the situation. That's why I always advocate for starting the case in the right manner. And that kind of gets into our number two, because if you start it in the right manner, generally your case will go in a better direction overall, rather than starting it with like fireworks.
And for people who are new to the show and who are kind of starting with this episode, we do focus a lot on how do you shift your mindset from a really emotional place to looking at this as a business. And it's so weird to do, but this is a business. Getting married, marriage is a business. That's a business agreement. And divorce is another business agreement. So now let's talk about these key phrases that you can use that help you frame things up in a way that's hopefully less emotional.
Yep. So when you're talking to your spouse, the worst thing you can do is put all your emotion in it and say to them, you know, you did X, Y, and Z, and this is why I'm leaving. I'm going to, you know, do X, Y, and Z in court, and we're going to get into those things. What the buzzwords to keep everyone calm are is you go into it, and unfortunately, you might have to put on an Oscar award-winning performance. You might have to do that to get your kind of point across in the right way and also keep everyone calm. So what I suggest is sitting down and maybe saying to them, like, look, we've had a lot of great times over the years. I still very much care for you. If you have children, you know, this conversation, we've raised great children. We're in this together. No matter what, we're still going to be co-parents forever. And the other catchwords and phrases that are super important after you deliver the news about divorce is, number one, I want to keep this as amicable as possible. I want to keep our costs down and work together as much as possible. And if you have children, whether it's right, wrong, or whatever, you want to calm the other side down that you're not taking the children from them or trying to. I want to work together as co-parents, or I'm not going, if your co-parent is a decent parent, let's just say Chad and Brenda. And for those listeners who might not know who Chad and Brenda are, welcome. That's our couple on how not to suck a divorce we always talk about. It's our fake couple. Let's just say that Chad says to Brenda, Brenda, you know what? This isn't working. But I am not going to fight you over the kids. You're a great mom. I'm a great dad. We should make this work together. And if that's not your situation, obviously, talk to your lawyer. You can tweak it however it is. But people are worried when they hear the word divorce about a few things. They're worried about their children and getting them, you know, basically having them taken from them. That's just one of their biggest worries. They're worried about finances and how they're going to move on. And they're worried about, you know, fighting and what fighting costs and that they might not be able to move on. Putting all the relationship side aside, those are the two biggest worries. So if you can calm that right out of the gate, or at least a little bit, you're going to set the footing and the tone so much better.
And I want to ask you something right now because it made my brain jump there.
Summer, vacation vibes, sunshine, summer camp. What could possibly put a damper on your life?
co-parenting drama, unless you're proactive and wildly smart, which, I mean, you listen to this show, so duh. All the smarties are using Our Family Wizard, the judge-approved and attorney-recommended co-parenting app.
Whether you're high conflict or you just want to stay organized, Our Family Wizard is our official co-parenting app recommendation for this show.
And guess what? We are the only ones who can offer you a discount. That's right. Go to ourfamilywizard.com/notsuck20 and save 20%.
Do we recommend, and I know we've talked about this before, and I'm just wondering if our stance has changed. Do we meet with an attorney prior to having this conversation?
I think it's case-by-case basis overall. I mean, I am of the opinion that it doesn't hurt. It only helps to meet with an attorney beforehand. You might not, our listeners might not be there in their head yet, and that's okay. So I'm not going to take a hard line like you have to meet with a lawyer before you do this. But I will say, we always say this, knowledge is power. And if you do meet with a divorce lawyer beforehand, you're probably going to learn a few things that you didn't know, and they might be able to help you through this conversation. So it can't hurt.
Yeah, it surprises me that you said that, because I was prepared for you to say, yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, and again, we don't know every single listener. We don't know everybody's situation. We don't know everybody's personality. I think for my personality, I probably would have met with an attorney first, because I want to know exactly what this would look like. I think that in line with the key phrases, you know, and we're going to get into this in a minute when we get into the don'ts, you want to be careful that you're not making any promises. And I think even if in regards to kids or whatever, and if you are thinking to yourself, yeah, I'm Chad. I do want to leave Brenda. And I think that Brenda needs to change a few things about her life before I'm comfortable giving her 50-50, whether if you live in a state where 50-50 is not the default, right? Okay. I think that we have to speak in ways that are not so black and white and certain. I think you say things like, I'm looking to make changes in our family so that we can be the healthiest and the happiest possible. And I want to make sure that we work together to do what's best for the kids. Right? So there's a difference between saying that and saying, Brenda, I think you're an amazing mom, and I would never fight for more than 50% of custody time. Because guess what? You are in page one of chapter one of this book. You don't know what's going to happen in chapter four. You don't know what's going to happen in chapter seven. So again, I'll repeat that. I'm choosing to do this because I want to have the healthiest and happiest family possible. Because even though you're not going to be married, you're still a family.
Yep.
Right?
No, you said a lot of things that I want to follow up on, and I agree with you, because backing up, if I took my divorce lawyer hat off and I put my Morgan hat on, not divorce lawyer, I agree with you. I would want to go to a divorce lawyer before I had this conversation.
Yeah.
Because I am a firm believer that not only is knowledge power, but there has to be a strategy or a roadmap. You have to have a plan, because when you don't have a plan, you don't feel comfortable. When you have a plan, you feel more comfortable, you can execute. So that is best case for me. That's what I would do. The problem is why I said it doesn't, you know, you don't have to, is because I see so many of my clients that haven't done that yet. And they have taken, you know, the cat out of the bag or the horse out of the barn and said, we're getting a divorce. And they haven't met with a lawyer. But what the one thing you said is finessing the conversation is so important depending on what your family looks like and what the issues are potentially in your divorce. So if you are meeting with a divorce attorney before the conversation, you're going to be able to identify exactly those phrases that Andrea just came up with and make sure that you're not walking into a landmine. So, you know, we could tell you, go out and say, I want to be great co-parents and not take the kids away from you, but that might not be your situation. That might not be your situation at all. And that's what Andrea is saying. So if you go see a lawyer, you kind of know this is how I say it.
And, you know, this is one of the things that I think makes our show so interesting, Morgan, is that we can bring people this guidance and advice from two different viewpoints. And you yourself have those two different viewpoints within you. You know, you're a divorce attorney and you're one of the most sought after divorce attorneys in the country at that. And so you're doing this day in and day out. You're seeing all different types of cases. And also, you're a woman, you're married, and you're a mommy. So you can look at this and see, okay, wait, hang on. Let me look at this through another lens. And, you know, for me, not only am I a mom, currently a wife, was an ex-wife, have been through this, and running our community, doing this show, hearing about so many different stories, I think that sometimes our brains have so much information we're trying to sift through. Well, what's the gold standard here? And I think one of the challenges is that there's going to be a lot of things that are going to have to be tweaked based on who you're divorcing, you know, who you are currently married to and what's right for that person. But I would say that it's almost always going to behoove you to speak to legal counsel prior. And the other thing is, here comes the next question. If you're Chad, you're telling Brenda, and Brenda says to you, oh my God, Chad, well, have you already talked to an attorney? Have you already hired an attorney? Have you already filed? Then what?
I think it depends on where you're at. I always think honesty is the best policy, because once you lie about something stupid, and again, it's not stupid in the fact that, you know, they're going to be upset. So yeah, that's not stupid. That's why people lie, because they know their spouse is going to be upset that they may have talked to a lawyer. But where it, like, it's a short-term issue, where if you just are honest, it's so much better than it being lying, because the long-term issue can have effects. What I mean by that is, I have a lot of people that are like, oh no, I didn't talk to anyone. And then later, let's just say in the case, maybe there's an issue about attorney's fees or something like that. And the other spouse, let's say Brenda, gets a hold of, understands when the attorney was hired. And they're like, whoa, 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 Chad, you told me when you told me you wanted a divorce, you didn't talk to anyone. Well, that's a bunch of bullshit, because this lawyer was hired at that point. So they start to lose trust there.
Right.
So is it worth it? It's not in that issue. So I think it's a short-term pain point if you say, yeah, I did talk to somebody, but at least you're being honest, because the best way to get through the divorce is with your dignity, but also being honest. And the reason is because you're going to cost yourself more money if you're not honest.
So let's get into do number three, which is connected to another question I have. So we were telling people do number three is to be firm but compassionate. And what I think about here is, if somebody says, I don't want this, are you sure? Well, what about therapy? Let's try therapy again. Or, you know, give me another chance. I can change. Or I can't believe you're doing this. You're going to devastate the kids. This also reminds me of an episode that we covered not too long ago on the most common forms of divorce manipulation. So listen to that episode if you haven't yet. But what I want to know is, while we're talking about being firm yet compassionate, where are we sitting, Morgan, with do we want people to go ahead and file and then tell their spouse, and obviously hold off on attorney reaching out for, like, the official serving of dissolution of marriage? But what do we think?
So again, I think it's a case-by-case basis. This is where it would behoove you to talk to a lawyer beforehand, because mm-hmm. I have a lot of strategy points that I talk to about a case with a new client. Everything from how you're going to talk to them to whether we're going to file and then you're going to talk to them. There are strategy reasons for doing something like that, like filing first, then telling them, then sending them the paperwork. You might be wondering, well, what are those strategy reasons? Well, yeah, you don't want people to move money. You want them on notice that something's filed. Maybe you think that they're a little volatile, that they might file something. Maybe there's some issue going on in the house. maybe you've been talking about it for 10 months and it's going nowhere and you need them to know that you're serious. There's all these other considerations, but we go through all of that. The reason I say be firm but compassionate is, again, you're setting the tone for your divorce. So you want to be compassionate. You don't want to be like, hey, we're getting divorced and go F yourself, you know, Chad. You don't want to do that because that's right. just going to amp them up, even though you might want to do that, right? Secretly, you don't want to do that when it comes down to it. And the reason I say be firm is what I want you to do is kind of think about what Andrea just said. Think about every response your ex could have. Well, you know, like Andrea said, you're going to hurt the kids. Have a response for that. Maybe you could say, I don't think that's fair. I think this is about redefining our family, something mm-hmm. like that. Well, what if I change? You have a response for that. Listen, we've been in therapy for a year. There has been no change, and neither of us are any happier. This is my decision. So what I want you to do when you're thinking this through is write down everything you think your spouse could say to you and listen to our manipulation episode because we go through a lot of this.
And I'm going to give you another formula. I want you to go back to step two. Do number two as we framed it, okay? So after you get to three, if you're getting pushback, I want you to reiterate all of those phrases that you used in step two, in do number two. Listen, this is a choice I'm making so that our family can be the healthiest and happiest possible. I know that you and I have always put our kids first. This is what I feel like is going to be in the best interest of all of us and ensuring that our kids have the happiest, healthiest lives possible. I understand that this is a lot. I understand that this is hurtful. I did not make this decision, you know, in a haste. And this, you know, the other thing that I'm going to say here, and we're about to move into the don'ts, is if this were me, and it's not, but I want you to listen to your good friend, Andrea. Not only do I want you to talk to an attorney prior, I want you to have a goddamn therapist. And I want you to talk this through with a therapist. Why? Because your therapist is going to do a really good job with helping you. If you're in therapy, which you should be, because if you're in a spot right now where you're looking at making a major change in your life, like a divorce, your ass should be in therapy. That's my opinion. And it's right. Okay. Your therapist probably knows about your marriage. Your therapist probably has some insight into what your spouse is like. They can help you go through, okay, well, if Brenda says this, how should we respond? If Chad does this, what do you think? You should have a strategy. You should have a plan. You should not be raw dogging this conversation. And I'm so glad that you listened to the show. I'm so glad that we are here to help you. And if it were me, this is a part, that time in your life where you should have a solid team of people who are around you, guiding you, because I don't want you to do what we're about to get into, which is the don'ts. And my concern is that you could listen to us right now in your ear, but still in the heat of the moment and when your adrenaline is running and when someone says something that triggers you, you might make a mistake.
Yep. Yep. And it kind of reminds me of something that I'm dealing with right now. I'm going to use Chad and Brenda again.
Mm-hmm.
Brenda's gone off the deep end. There's kids involved, et cetera. Chad is like, what the hell is going on here? Brenda's mm-hmm. gone off the deep end. Brenda's left the house, left him with the kids. And Chad doesn't have a therapist. Chad knows deep down he should probably file for divorce, but he's not there yet. And he doesn't have anyone to really work it through. That is when you definitely want to get a therapist on board, in addition to at least talking to a lawyer, even if you're not quite ready to file for divorce. All right, let's hop into the don'ts. Are you ready?
Okay, so here are the three don'ts all at once, and then we'll break them down. Don't number one, don't make threats about the kids or court. Number two, do not tell them in a private space, like a house or a car. This sounds like a Dr. Seuss rhyme. I will not tell them in a house. I will not do that to my spouse. Okay, don't like green eggs and ham. And number three, do not engage in an argument.
Yep, that's right. All right, so let's start with don't number one. This would be something for someone who's leaving a marriage that's already really high conflict and things are tense. And we know that if you're in a high conflict situation where you've got somebody on the other side that is so difficult, and maybe you're a little difficult too. Let's just be honest, call a spade a spade, okay? All right. You don't want to make it worse for yourself, even though you do want to make threats to them. Mm-hmm. You want to make threats because you're hurt, you're hurting, and you want to hurt them. And you want to say to them, I talked to a lawyer, I'm going to take your ass to court, I'm going to rake you over the coals, I'm going to take all the goddamn money, and I'm taking the kids. That's okay, we get it. That's right. You feel like that. But if you say that, I can guarantee you money is going to be flying out of your pocket. So say it to your girlfriend. Say it to your guy friend. We don't care. But don't say it when you're talking to your spouse about getting a divorce.
If a situation is high conflict already, right? And we're still married, but things are just not good in this house. Are there any circumstances, Morgan, where we would recommend for an attorney to serve this information?
Absolutely. There are some couples and spouses that just, you can't have this conversation. Maybe it's not safe. Maybe it's not emotionally safe, no matter where you are. Uh-huh. That's the reality. And if that's you, that makes it that much more important that you're talking to a lawyer. Okay. So if you are, if you're in a high conflict situation, your house is super tense, you're maybe worried about your safety. I do not recommend and will not send a client to go do this talk if there's a safety issue or an emotional instability issue. I'm not doing that. I'm going to recommend that we're filing, we're serving, we're doing whatever we have to do to get the protection we need. We're not sending the client into the lion's den.
And also, guys, this is an area where you also need to think about your babies and be smart. This is why we always recommend that if you are in a high conflict situation, you're in a little bit of a special case. You want your attorney guiding you because, again, good attorneys think about three steps ahead. So if we serve this way, what's going to happen there? How do we keep everybody safe under one roof if that's a possibility? If we cannot keep people safe in one roof, well, guess what? Then you are putting in a temporary parenting agreement immediately. So you have to think about these things. If you are in a high conflict situation where you do not fall into that category where we're saying, take your spouse to Starbucks tonight at 5:00 and say, we had good times. We had bad times. I want a divorce. Okay. You should be speaking to an attorney and you should be in therapy. And you, my friend, need to be incredibly thoughtful about how you handle this. And the reason why we can't just tell you what to do is because depending on where you live, there could be different laws, their jurisdiction to jurisdiction. There could be things that in your county, there could be specific guidelines that people follow. So that's one of the reasons.
One of the examples of that is, let's just say you're in a really high conflict, situation. I'm not going to go send you for safety reasons to tell your spouse that you want a divorce, but also maybe you're going to tip your spouse off to the divorce and that spouse is going to try to avoid getting served with the document.
Yeah.
Most people that doesn't happen to anymore. That seems very like movie-like, but there are still some people in a high conflict case that will do things like that. And you want them sometimes to be blindsided and served just for different reasons, depending on what jurisdiction you're in. Okay. Number two, I won't belabor it because we already talked about it, but do not do this conversation in a private space like a house or a car. I mean, one, everyone misbehaves in a house or a car. Two, sometimes it's hard to escape. Like sometimes it's hard to get up and walk away from the conversation. And you might have to do that in one of these conversations because if you're being firm but compassionate, you need to know when your end point is and you need to end it like an adult. And if you're in a house or a car, it makes it very difficult to do that.
Even for two calm, sane people.
Agreed.
Nobody is going to be totally calm and sane when they're being told, I want a divorce. I don't care how great you are, how perfect you are. Everybody is going to react. If my husband now said to me, Andrea, you're so pretty and I can't believe I'm doing this, but I want a divorce. I can't tell you that I'd be like, okay, namaste. Let's do this, right? You're gonna push back. You're gonna have some emotion.
Get out the butcher knife. You'd be ready to go.
stab, stab, stab. And I'm taking my shoes with me. Okay, the last one. Don't, number three, don't engage in an argument. And you're thinking, yeah, duh, you dumbasses. But actually, it's not as easily avoidable as you would think because of what we just talked about. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some pushback. So we're telling you, and this sort of relates to what we talked about before, where we're saying, talk to a therapist, talk to somebody about what you can anticipate as far as your spouse's response, because you don't want to get into a back and forth argument with this conversation. This conversation needs to have parameters. It needs to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. The other thing I'm going to say, and we should have mentioned this in the do's, but we didn't, we need to have a plan for what you do after you have this conversation, because that's going to be a really awkward night. Am I right?
Yes. And actually, that's something that when I meet with clients, I talk to them. I get down to the nitty gritty, even about what day are we having this conversation? There's times that I recommend doing it on a weekend because maybe it's easier to split up and give everyone some breathing room during that point in time. There's other times that I recommend a weekday because courts are open. Your attorney is calling you back. There's a lot of different considerations here of when and how you're going to tell them. Also, if you have children, that's a consideration. Where are the kids going to be? How is this going to affect them just for the purposes of this conversation? So it's certainly something to talk about.
Absolutely. And a few final thoughts, because now I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, oh shit, I'm going to be late for therapy. So a few final thoughts before I go and have my head examined. ChatGPT is not a bad writer. Sometimes they come up with some great ideas, but they're not an attorney. We covered this in two episodes ago. You could get into a lot of legal trouble by relying on ChatGPT or any open AI program to do your divorce for you. So how do you utilize this really cool service that we're all addicted to? You take what it gives you and you run that by your attorney. Talk to your attorney before you do anything else, before you have that conversation. The other last thing I want to mention is in terms of how to have appropriate conversations with people. One of the new guides that we have on our website, which we are so proud of, is a guide that we created for how to speak to your children about divorce. And this guide is broken down by age group. And the reason why we created this is we wanted language out there that was approved by an attorney, so you know you're not going to get into any legal trouble. And it's a really good jumping off point to help you frame up a comforting and safe conversation that does not throw the other parent under the bus in any way, shape, or form, because that's going to hurt your kids and hurt your case. And it helps you navigate these pretty tough conversations that are unfortunately a part of the divorce process.
Right. And it's really meant for you to get your brain kind of working around what works best for your family and telling the children. So for instance, I helped write this and it is approved by me. But again, we always talk about the fact that there's two outliers in every case. One is what jurisdiction are you in? And two is what are your specific facts of your case? Your case and your neighbor's case are not going to be similar. So my point is, use it as a guide, but ultimately run it by the therapist, your attorney, wherever you're located. But again, knowledge is power. This is something to get your brain kind of thinking about what's the best way to go about talking to the kids about a divorce.
Absolutely right. Guys, remember, we do this show for a reason. We do this show because we know that you are coming into this process without all this information, because how would you have this information unless you get divorced professionally every single day of the week, which I don't think they're paying people to do yet. You're not going to know this stuff. We know that. I didn't know this stuff when I went through it. So we want to make sure that you have somebody here to hold your hand and to guide you the right way through what can be a very challenging process.
Also, one of the things that Andrea and I can't stand is that there's so much misinformation out there about divorce, but also there's so many people that are not qualified that are out there talking about divorce, whether it's other podcasts, coaches, et cetera. So you have to be very careful with where you get your information. And that's why we're careful about the action steps that we give you.
Right. So if you haven't yet joined the private community, join the private community. If you haven't yet followed us on our social channels, follow us on the social channels. Get your hands on the Divorce Crash course. Please use every single form of support that we are offering because it's going to help you and it's going to be a game changer. That's one of the phrases that one of our listeners recently said about our show, which I love. She wrote and said, "This show has been a game changer." I'm like, yes, I'm using that. So this information will be a game changer in your divorce process, which, by the way, you are doing to get to a happier and healthier place. Do not forget that. We are proponents of happy and healthy marriages. And a lot of times, in order to get to a happier, healthier marriage, you're going to go through a divorce. I'm an example of that. My divorce was not fun, but my life right now is incredible. You will get to a better place. 5 years from now, baby, just look. Your life will be completely different.
Right. And divorce is a marathon. It's not a sprint. We know this. You've got to tread that water. And some days are not going to be great. Others are going to be okay. And sometimes it's day by day. Other times it's hour by hour. And that is okay. If you like us, please rate and review us. If you don't like us, forget about it. We don't care. But we do love your ratings and reviews. It helps us bring on wonderful guests that we've had. Remember, this is tough stuff, but you have got this.
That's right. And we have got you.